You are listening to a Sunday sermon from St. Thomas Episcopal Church in Bellevue, Washington. We are a community that seeks God's presence, serves Christ in others, and grows together in faith. Welcome to our podcast. The following sermon was preached on the fifth Sunday after Pentecost, July 9, 2017, by the Reverend Brian Gregory, Associate for Youth Ministries at St. Thomas.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said to the crowd, "To what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another. We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds." At that time, Jesus said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Well, I sat with this sermon for a while and tried to find the right way to start and even what to say. As you may well know, today is my last Sunday at St. Thomas. And I have not preached one of these farewell sermons before, and there's a lot to say. Too much than can be said right here and now. My heart is heavy as I preach this, as I stand in this pulpit for the last time, at least in this season of our life together. And I wrestled with the lectionary readings assigned for today and tried to discern what the scriptures are speaking to us in this time and this place. That's the task preachers have each and every week. But to put on top of that, the emotions, the relationships, the memories I carry with me. All things that are a result of our time together over the last 6 years. This was a challenging sermon to write. My role at St. Thomas led much of my time to be spent with our youth and their families and the amazing volunteers who give of themselves for the sake of our youth and their Christian formation. But I've come to know a great many of you well during my time here. This is a remarkable community. One that is made up of faithful saints who seek to embody our faith for the sake of the world, serving the hungry and the poor, welcoming the stranger, embracing the outcast, visiting the sick. The people who make up this congregation, you all, have much to offer the world, and you take that seriously. And the staff here is a remarkably talented group that gives tirelessly for this community and seeks to raise up this congregation for service and leadership. Simply put, St. Thomas is a community of disciples, a community of people who follow Jesus. And if you've been listening to our gospel readings over the last several weeks, they've all been about what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Following Jesus is a remarkable adventure in which we find wholeness and purpose in the fulfillment of our humanity. But it is oftentimes a difficult journey. Over the last several weeks, we've heard Jesus tell us that those who follow him and live the way of life he calls us to may very well find themselves unwelcome or persecuted. We've heard Jesus' words, "Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it." These are hard things to swallow. How I wish following Jesus meant a life of comfort and security and freedom from the difficult experiences of life. But that's not the life Jesus calls us into. No, Jesus calls us into something fuller, more expansive, and more true than we can imagine. You see, as Christians, as those who follow Jesus, we have seen a glimpse of the world and humanity and all of creation as it truly is. We've seen a glimpse of God's kingdom. The kingdom of God is where we find wholeness and healing and peace and relationship with God and with one another. And in the midst of our broken world, and even our broken selves, our faith gives us eyes to see the beauty of God's kingdom emerging in our midst. Even when our world is rocked by violence, war, and terrorism, we can find God's kingdom among us. Even when our country, our cities, and our neighborhoods are divided along political or ideological or racial lines, we can find God's kingdom among us. Even when our relationships with God, with others, or ourselves are less than a full reflection of God's perfect love, we can find God's kingdom among us. And we can find God's kingdom because we have seen and encountered and come to know Jesus. Jesus is our hope. And Jesus is the hope of our world. As our gospel reading makes clear, this belief, this inescapable reality of God's kingdom makes us peculiar. Those who cling to power or security or the illusion of self-sufficiency miss it. They don't have the eyes to see things the way they truly are. This generation, whether first century Palestine or 21st century America or anything in between, oftentimes misses the writing on the wall, misses the cues of God's kingdom emerging all around us. And that can make this world both a lonely and a tempting place to live as we follow Jesus. Lonely because we may very well see the world differently than others. Lonely because our belief or our way of life may very well be dismissed as irrational or fantastical. Lonely because it may seem like too much to hold to hope for a world that is whole in the midst of a world that may seem too broken and divided for repair. And that's why we need each other. We need a community like St. Thomas in which to support and encourage one another to continue on as we follow Jesus. We were created for community. We need community. And that is one of the deep blessings of St. Thomas. It's a community in which we can have fellowship, a community in which we can learn and grow, a community in which we can gather around a table and offer our prayers as we encounter Jesus, before being sent back out into the world to be a part of what God is doing to put it all back together. My hope and prayer, in fact, my deep belief for this place is that you will continue to live into this sort of community with purpose and intentionality and grace as you discover with one another how to follow Jesus ever more faithfully. I say this world can be a tempting place to live as we follow Jesus because security and power, self-sufficiency look really good. Maybe following Jesus is just too hard or too demanding or too costly. Maybe it would be easier to try and do this thing called life on our own for a bit. Sure, we'll follow the rules and be kind and good people. That should be enough, right? The Apostle Paul has something to say about this, and it sounds exhausting. In fact, it is exhausting. Trust me. I've been there. And I imagine you have too. I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. For even the strongest among us, life lived by sheer self-will alone never leads us where we think it will, never brings us to the fullness of who we are and what we were created to be. And it is there that we find Jesus' invitation to come to him. Come to me, all you who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Sounds wonderful, doesn't it? This thing we call faith, the Christian life, following Jesus, is at the same time so simple and yet so difficult. I don't know about you, but I'm drawn to the first and last of those three verses, the part about rest and easy and light. But we miss it if that's all we hear. And in fact, many of our translations miss it too. Jesus' yoke, his way of life and his teaching, are not easy. A better translation would be that his yoke is kind or good. I'm reminded of C.S. Lewis's description of Aslan the Lion in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. As you will recall, the Chronicles of Narnia are an allegory of the gospel, the tale of kingdoms clashing and the kingdom of God ultimately emerging victorious under the rule of Aslan, the Christ figure. As the children from the other world, Lucy, Edmund, and Peter, first meet Mr. and Mrs. Beaver, residents of Narnia, they hear about this one called Aslan. And this is their conversation. "Is he a man?" asked Lucy. "Aslan a man?" said Mr. Beaver sternly. "Certainly not. I tell you, he is king of the wood and the son of the great emperor beyond the sea. Don't you know who is the king of the beasts? Aslan is a lion. The lion, the great lion." "Oh," said Susan, "I thought he was a man. Is he quite safe? I shall feel rather nervous about meeting a lion." "That you will, dearie. Make no mistake," said Mrs. Beaver. "If there's anyone who can appear before Aslan without their knees knocking, they're either braver than most or else just silly." "Then he isn't safe?" said Lucy. "Safe?" said Mr. Beaver. "Don't you hear what Mrs. Beaver tells you? Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe. But he's good. He's the king, I tell you." Following Jesus isn't safe or easy, but it's good. The yoke of Jesus fits just right, and where it leads you will bring the fullest parts of your humanity to the fore as you join in the work God has given you to do in our world. I've been sitting with this image of following Jesus, literally walking down the dusty road following the one who will show us the life we were created for. Because that is what Jesus' first disciples did. They left their lives and their homes behind and responded to Jesus' invitation to follow him. And they walked along with Jesus for miles and miles over years around Galilee. They didn't follow because it was going to be easy. The easy thing would have been to stay home and keep on fishing. No, they left because they caught a glimpse of something real and true in Jesus, and they wanted to see and experience more. After all those miles walking along the dusty roads of Galilee following Jesus, they must have been filthy, covered in dust. Dust kicked up by Jesus' feet as he showed them what it means to live in relationship with God and with others. Our past part today, as I begin ordained ministry in a new congregation. But I'm leaving here dirty. Dirty from the dust we have kicked up together. And dirt Jesus kicked up ahead of us as we followed him. It's been a remarkable journey with this community. And I know you will continue to get dirty. As will I. It is in following Jesus that we find the fullness of what our souls long for. So may we each find the rest that only comes from that journey and continue to kick up dust as we follow Jesus. Amen.
For more information about St. Thomas Episcopal Church, please visit our website, www.stthomasmedina.org. That's www.stthomasmedina.org.